Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 84.
I am actress Mila Jovovich, and I will be portraying Dr. Abigail Tyler. This film is a dramatization of events that occurred October 2000. Every scene in this movie is supported by archive footage, some of what you're about to see. Is extremely disturbing.
There's no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead. Move it out fast.
William, we got a frozen pin.
Okay, guys, leave that last panel for now.
What do you think?
We can't tell how bad it is till we get in there.
You sure, man? You don't want to put heat on there first? It just feels...
The damage could spread. But it's going to be the panel.
Okay.
What the hell is going on out there?
Okay, I'm set.
Come on!
Shit! It snapped! The panel snapped!
I ripped my glove.
It's okay. Andre's okay. We're tethered.
Zero, 1 inch. I'm trying to
I got him
skin.
Hooked to me.
We're coming in.
Andre, do not attempt to climb back in on your own. James?
I see him. I got him. I'm going for him. Hang on.
It's a small rip.
Take it easy. Just relax, big guy.
Keep calm, Andre.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zelag.
Hola!
In this episode, we are continuing on with our look at movies about aliens with a discussion on only two films, and we'll get into why, but we're talking about the 2009 film, The Fourth Kind, and the 2013 film, Europa Report. Before getting into that, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. So, Mrs. Elag, what do you have in drink roll call-wise for me?
E.T. beer.
E.T. beer. What does that mean?
Coors Light.
I don't get it.
That's what E.T. drinks when they leave him at home.
I've never heard it called that before in my life.
Well, yeah, usually it's called, like, God's
cowboy,
beer.
Or cowboy piss, I hear.
Cowboy piss.
Yeah.
Depending on if you like it or not.
I like how you say E.T. beer like it's a thing that everyone knows, though.
I thought that you would, of all people, understand what I was saying.
It is appropriate. I mean, you're trying to tie it into the theme, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You
give a shit.
I'm not trying to tie shit into shit. I'm having a vodka tonic, and it has a lime in it.
I feel like that's what a psychiatrist would drink.
It's what the upper crust has.
Yeah.
If you are in isolation sort of a situation.
Yeah, I think that's what they have, that freeze dried for the astronauts.
And that's what a lot of people in cold areas drink is vodka. Like Russia.
Right?
Like Alaska.
Sweden.
See? Now it's all... It is Svedka again, so...
Swedish. My people.
Yeah, so there you go.
Boom.
Okay, so with that, we are going to start with Rachel's pick. It is from 2009, and it is The Fourth Kind.
Can you state your name for the camera?
Dr. Abigail Tyler.
Okay, where would you like to begin?
I am actress Mila Jovovich, and I will be portraying Dr. Abigail Tyler. This film is a dramatization of events that occurred October 2000. Every scene in this movie is supported by archive footage. Some of what you're about to see is extremely disturbing.
I wake up in the middle of the night almost every night.
There's nothing unusual waking you up.
There's one thing. There's an owl at my window.
An owl.
Size your pig.
A white owl, just looking at me. Had you ever seen it before?
Tommy?
When I was a kid, just staring at me.
I've seen it a lot.
Every night this week.
4, 3, 2. Tell me about the owl.
It doesn't look like a normal owl.
There's no owl. It's not an owl.
That voice is speaking Sumerian, the oldest language in human history. You can go into any Sumerian exhibit and see etchings and sculptures of men in spacesuits and oxygen masks. Rockets that look like Apollo.
Do you believe in abduction theories?
You don't mean alien abductions, do you?
What's wrong?
There are more missing people in Nome than any other town in Alaska.
I have to get this out of my head because it's dug in there and I can't think straight.
Scott.
Scott.
We gotta send back up.
What'd you see?
You were there.
I can't explain it.
Someone or something came into my room. And it took me away.
In 1972, a scale of measurement was established for alien encounters. When a UFO is sighted, it's called an encounter of the first kind. When evidence is collected, it's known as an encounter of the second kind. When contact is made with extraterrestrials, it is the third kind. The next level, abduction, is the fourth kind. Modern-day Alaska, where mysteriously since the 1960s, a disproportionate number of the population has been reported missing every year. Despite multiple FBI investigations of the region, the truth has never been discovered. Here in this remote region, psychologist Dr. Abigail Tyler began videotaping sessions with traumatized patients and unwittingly discovered some of the most disturbing evidence of alien abduction ever documented. Whew. The fourth kind exposes the terrified revelations of multiple witnesses. Their accounts of being visited by alien figures all share disturbingly identical details, the validity of which is investigated throughout the film.
All right, that is a mouthful
of
a description. That's well done. I don't know where you were. Well, I do know where you were, but I don't know where you are currently when I need people to read in class.
You understand that my hand shut up first every time in class.
Absolutely. Instead, I get a, in 1972.
Don't you hate that kid?
Or does established for a
Or the kid that takes forever to read and you get it, but you're like, oh my god, we're going to be here forever.
Yeah, like...
It's a lot, Todd.
I should have not given you that role in this short story, because everyone's staying after class now because we're not done. Sorry. That's my fault. Sorry, anyway.
Right.
Okay, so this is the fourth kind. I guess I kind of alluded to this and then forgot about it. It is Rachel and I. It is not Mr. Pryor. He was not able to join us this week, so... What we're going to do is his selection we are going to skip, and we're going to talk about it next time when hopefully he'll be able to join us. So we may have – that one's going to be kind of like a little half review, I think, probably.
A half review? Nope, that doesn't work.
No,
never mind.
It was a good try. So so we're just going to do the two films, and I have a feeling this may be not a real long episode.
What? I have pages of notes.
I have zero notes.
No, what?
I did watch both of them fairly recently, though, so it's not like they're not fresh in my mind, but it's, we'll get into why, I guess. So the first film, The Fourth Kind, this is your pick. This is one that, you know, I hyped up to Anel quite a bit. I was like, oh man, this is so scary. You're going to be freaked the fuck out. You just wait. You're not going to want to blah, 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 blah. You know, because she's one of those can't sleep all night sort of people and has to get up and go to the bathroom and then come back to bed. And she's like, if I have to wake up and I'm scared, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to wake you up every single night to get you back for making me watch this movie. That was sort of the look. If I'm watching it, you just be clear of what's happening if I'm scared by it. So... Before getting into that, what did you think of this originally, and what did you think of it this time around?
I was kind of the same way. Like, I've only seen it once, really, and I watched it. It had to have been a couple of years ago, obviously, Rachel. But, like, I remember being freaked out by it. And then I made Katie's friend Megan watch it, and, like, to this day, she can't handle anything that has to do with owls and, like, stuff like that. Like, it scared her a little bit. And she's still angry at me about it. And so I was, like, all ready, and I'm, like, getting sent down. I'm like, ooh, I'm ready to be scared. And I was, like, pretty disappointed. I shouldn't have done research. See, this is why. This is why I shouldn't do research on movies. Because it's your fault. Because I did the research on if it was actually a true story and how much of it was true, and it turns out, like, none of it is true. Which, you know, shame on me. But then, like, it just seemed like that ruined it for me, and I wasn't scared anymore.
Hmm. So what did you think of it this time around?
It was okay.
Mm. The passion is just seeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. Okay, so I think when I watched it originally, I had no idea about it either. I didn't do any, you know, IMDb searches or any sort of Wikipedia things or anything like that, or any, you know, reputable sites. And so
I went to a couple alien porn sites.
Yeah, I mean, I did research on that just on my own, just to get a background, right. You know, but just to get a, you know, a base. So when I watched it, I was like, holy shit. And I had the really sort of similar reactions to your friend. I thought, I was like, I don't know if I can handle what's happening. And, you know, I hear the post movie, the credit sequence, the calls, which are, those are actual calls. Those are actual people calling into places, or the police, I guess, and saying, you know, oh, I saw this and this is a strange light and this thing happened and whatever. And I was like, dang, that's really fucking scary. And much like you, I then looked and was like, oh, the lady that played Abigail Tyler was an actress? Ah, what a bunch of bullshit. You know, and then I was pretty crestfallen.
Yeah, me too. I remember when I watched this, it was when we lived in an apartment and I had to take the dog out afterwards and I was like afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so... Oh. I was pretty scared in the moment, and then after the fact, I was pretty disappointed once I did the research. So, I'm watching it with Annelle, and she's watching it, and I'm not saying a word, you know, because of course you don't do that when movies are on.
No, you don't talk.
Yeah, unless you're saying, hey, you're not paying attention, what are you doing?
I'm going to rewind this for you.
Yeah, I think it was one of those where I took her phone and put it face down and said, okay, now we're ready to push play. Something real asshole-y like that, you know?
Right.
and so we start watching it, and she's maybe 10 minutes into the movie, and she's like, well, this lady's an actress, and I don't believe any of this. And I was like, well, what do you mean? This is the lady. And Mila Jovovich already said that she's portraying her. She's a real
right.
person. And she's like, no, I don't believe that. She's like, she's just an actress. This is all bullshit. And I was just like, Annelle did, and I was pissed. And I was like, what are you talking about? No, this is real. And she's like, nah, I don't think so.
She's stupid.
And so I was like, well, I've been sitting there thinking like to myself, what the fuck is the point of even watching the rest of this then?
Right.
You know? And so I was like upset about it, definitely in a pouting.
So I threw a phone against the wall.
Yeah, this will show you.
Right.
And so she watched it and was just kind of really sort of nonplussed by it and was just didn't have any kind of reaction whatsoever and wasn't scared and was just kind of like, you know, I was really pumped up to be scared about it and I just really wasn't at all. And
like second viewing for us.
Yeah. And so we had the same reaction. And it's one of those things where it's almost like, it, you know, I'm not a believer of really like, energies and karma that much and that sort of thing. But it's almost like she could sense where I was at energy wise, where it's like, ah, I know this is all bullshit. And she just kind of picked up on it or something, you know, because she was having the same reaction that I was having.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always happen, but it definitely was happening for this. And so we both kind of watched it. And, you know, once you know the gig, like once you know that you're not watching something that's real and it's just a typical movie, it's not great.
No. I'm really glad that we had the same, like, the same reaction to it, I guess. Because I didn't want you to be like, but I really liked it. Cause I'm like, oh, I did not.
Yeah. You didn't want to be like, you didn't have the energy to be like, look, I don't even, all right. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
To
I mean,
right
like,
now.
If we're just going to compare, like the first time I watched it and I was like hook, line and sinker into that this was real. Cause like, you know, this is, you know, old, naive, positive outlook, Rachel. Like, why would they lie about having police tape on there? These are actual interviews. No one can fake this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is a lie. And it just, yeah. So, like, basically all I have is, like you said, after you realize that, like, the gimmick is over, I mean, most of my notes are just ripping apart the plot line and the subpar acting skills. And so I think that Mila, whatever her name is.
Mila Jovovich, yeah.
Yeah. Mila did okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, the son that's like, Dad never forgot.
Oh, yeah, the awkward son. Wow, he was rough.
Yeah, and, like, it's just so, like, just the plot in general was, like, just really forced, I felt like, and super easy for her to get a hold of some guy that knows languages that read a book. And
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
She gets a hold of this, it seems like the one guy who knows this ancient Sumerian language.
Right.
And she just has his number because apparently it's on the dust jacket of his book.
Of course it is.
And like, she's like, hey.
You have a question about the book? Give me a call.
It's like, hey, bro. So I don't know. There's these aliens and whatnot. And he's like, oh, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Nome, Alaska.
Right.
And she's like, oh, cool. So here we are. And, you know, here's Elias Koteas and Will Patton. And, you know, it's people that are pretty decent actors. I mean, I think Hakeem, I don't know how to say your last name, and I'm sorry. I think he's good, the guy that plays the Sumerian language expert. And Will Patton and Elias Koteas, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
And I think she's fine. It's the group that they surround themselves who are supposed to, I guess, be just like regular people, right? I mean, not like non-actors, but just normal, everyday Joe type
characters. Right, to make it more believable.
Yeah, I think they're okay. I think the people that are being interviewed are all right, like when they're under hypnosis.
Yeah, that's okay, because all they do is go off of the fake interview that they had.
Yeah, they're like losing their mind. Okay, now this is one of the things that while I'm watching it, the first time, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting that they made this choice a little different and you know, and I'm like, I really like that. What do you think of the fact that they had the recreations and the supposed real things once you know the trick? Like when it's almost a little Ang Lee Hulk to where there's so many different panels. It's like, well, what am I supposed to focus on? And that's, coincidentally is similar to our second film where it has all the different panels of things happening.
Oh, sure.
But you have these different screens where sometimes it's just a side by side and sometimes they kind of move around a little bit, but it's, you know, the quote unquote real and then the made up, the actor portrayal versions of these, events. What did you make of that kind of knowing the trick this time? Like, was it a distraction? Did you think that it was well done still, or did you not really like it now, or what did you think?
Well, like, I watched a lot of 24.
Oh,
so the four screens never been a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. I mean, okay, the first time I watched it, it was super interesting, to see what, you know, was going on, because I thought it was real. And the second time, it was kind of interesting to see what they wanted you to think was real.
Mm.
So I kind of watched it like that. Like, they do a lot of old videotape and it blurs at just the right moment kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make it, quote unquote, as authentic as possible or whatever. It's almost the double screen.
It's almost like you're watching it from a filmmaker's point of view the second time, right? When it's like, okay, yeah, like, how did they do the trick? Like, how did the magician pull the bird out? Or, you know, it's that kind of, that kind of deal.
They pull the probe out.
Yeah, like you're watching Sixth Sense and you're like, oh yeah, he's not touching anyone. Like, oh, I get it, you know.
Wait, what do you mean? I've never seen it. I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, I think that when I was watching it this time, I was like, okay, I don't know. Why don't they just make the performances the same? You know, or why don't they just make the beats and when they start the lines the same? Because I was like, is this distracting because the performances aren't great? And so they're trying to, like, distract you a little bit or what? Because I kind of watched it this time and was a little annoyed by it.
Oh, because, like, when they're talking in the interview and they'll say something and then the real person or the person in the movie will say something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when either Jovovich or Abigail Tyler, when they say a line and it's slightly not at the right beat.
Sure.
At the same beat, I guess. And I'm watching it like, ah, come on. Like, you're a shitty actress is what it makes me think. You know, it makes me think.
I don't know. They're like, listen, we tried to film it to match, but it doesn't match up exactly because you can't exactly match.
Yeah, she was just in the moment and was feeling what Abigail Tyler felt.
Right.
So I don't know. So that was kind of irritating. I did think that the first time I saw it, I was even like, wait a minute. But the cop that's outside the house.
Yeah.
And he sees the humongous circle go over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like, wait a minute. Like, that's pretty clear evidence of something.
Cloverfield.
Yeah. Or it's Starman when the fucking Earth comes down or whatever. You know, I was like, this definitely looks like something. This would have been seen somewhere.
Right.
But I don't know. You know,
but it was scratchy video. Prove it.
That's true. Alaska is a weird place, though. I'll tell you that.
I guess. I just didn't realize that many people needed to go to the psychiatrist.
Yeah, it's a big business.
He's super busy.
It's a big business. You know, psychiatrists, they don't, they charge a lot of money, but they make a lot of money because, you know, when you have a continual loop of people coming in.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you are arrested or whatever. You can still see your patients. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess. I mean.
She gets in trouble, you know. But I don't know. That was another thing where I felt like Will Patton was in a different movie because, man, he was super serious as the sheriff.
Yeah.
And he was like super serious, gruff, tough guy, Alaskan. Like, okay, if that's what you're going to be. But I never felt like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like his character, even if it's the guy that he was supposed to be, I didn't feel like he belonged with the rest of the movie around it.
Yeah. And it's almost like he just like was tired and he didn't really want to like arrest anybody or deal with any of that.
Mm. Kind of, yeah. Well, especially, I mean, he talks about how, you know, that one of the big reveals is that Abigail Tyler's husband had killed himself.
Right.
And they, you know, they talk about that and I was watching it going, oh, okay, so she killed him. That's the big deal. That's why there's blood all over his stomach or something. Because she stabbed him.
Right.
And then they're like, no, no, no. He, like, shot himself. And I'm like, really? Like, right in front of her? Oh, no, no. Not right in front of her. Okay, well, why is it so different? Oh, well, memory is a tricky thing. Right. You know, you can't predict how memory's going to be or whatever. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just.
Maybe she's been drinking or something. I don't really.
Well, yeah. I mean, if she's doing that, I mean, it is Alaska, right?
Right.
You can't drive out of that place.
That'd be a way better movie if the twist was that she killed him and made up this whole entire elaborate alien plot to get away with it.
Well, yeah, that would make sense why the kids are being taken away.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where it's like the movie was almost trying to be too smart for its own good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not too smart for its own good. But
No, and they do kind of try to break down her credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her credibility's already broken down, so you don't need to help her with it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those movies to where you watch it a second time to gain appreciation of how it was made.
Right, it's definitely not Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's right. The genius of Back to the Future. Robert Zemeckis. The most underrated filmmaker of his era.
Of all time.
But, yeah, you watch this once and you're like, oh, wow, cool. And because you're with it. Mm-hmm. And then you watch it again and you're like, phew, whatever.
That's probably what they're doing. They're like, fingers crossed, everybody goes to the theater.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like, you go once, is that going to be worth it? You know, is that going to be worth it? Is that going to cover the budget? You just go once.
Right.
I mean, it did okay. It cost about $10 million, according to IMDb, and it made $25 million, so it doubled its money. So, you know, usually, at least, I guess I could be wrong, and I don't know if this is current, but I thought it was either half or an equal. I think it was around half of your budget is also spent on advertising.
Oh.
And that sort of thing. So I thought that whatever the budget is, like half of that is what your actual budget is. So it's about 15. So it still made $10 million. I mean, it wasn't a blockbuster, but it still definitely made its money.
Right. I think it came out at the right time too, because like Paranormal Activity was a thing, right?
I believe so. Oh, 2009. So, I mean, it's 6 years ago, so it wasn't forever ago.
Right. So like people were kind of like, ooh, it's another one of the movies with like real footage and shit. That's amazing. So. I feel like if they were going to roll it out, they did it at the right time.
And he did. So after this, the director, who's got a name that I'm Olatunde Asunsami, or I don't know. It's something like that. Mm-hmm. He did. He's done two movies since, and that's it. He did Evidence in 2013, which did not get very good reviews.
Okay.
And is with nobody. I mean, it's with Stephen Moyer and the bad guy in Blade, and Radha Mitchell, who is in.
Oh, he's still alive?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then he's announced to be doing a movie called Dark Moon. So, I don't know. This didn't exactly launch his career.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. I mean, he's definitely put himself out in the movie, which you don't see too often from directors. Even though he didn't do much.
Oh, that's
much.
The dude, right?
Yeah, that's the actual guy. Yeah. He just sat there shaking his head and agreeing with the actress that played Abigail Tyler.
Oh, she was...
She's not an attractive woman.
No.
I don't know how PC I could say it.
Right. She looked like a skeleton. Like, did you stop eating? Or that was another thing. Like, even when I watched it and I was like all gung-ho, I was like, well, she looks like a crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't super believe your story if you're gonna tell me that with, like, in between, like, creepy bronchitis breaths. Like, I just...
Like, look, if you're gonna come up to me and you're gonna look like Katherine Heigl, I'm just not gonna believe that you've been struggling and had a hard time.
Ooh.
If you're gonna look crazy and have an alien-shaped face, then maybe I'm going to believe you that you've been, you know, abducted by the aliens.
Yeah. I mean, just, I don't know. What else do I have? Why do they need to open the door to your room if they just snatch you up through the ceiling? I don't understand that.
Well, that was interesting because, you know, okay, now the sequence or the image that still gets me is that fucking owl, I think, is still scary.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, it's not an owl. And then it's like its eyes kind of move a little bit. And I'm like, ooh, I still don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that one bit. And I don't like the idea of anything sitting outside your window just looking at you.
Right.
Right. Like that is a disconcerting sort of thing. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me that you would have to open your. It's like, oh, hey, person, I'll just let you in. Oh shit, now I'm abducted. Dang, I guess I'll know better next time.
Right. Or, like, I mean, it doesn't seem like they... Because they can target anyone. They obviously don't have any obstacles. It's not like they left, you know, tried to break into a window and left, like, alien DNA or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can get whatever they want. I just think it's funny that the door opened. I get it, because it's creaky and scary. But, yeah, I didn't understand that part.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me either. I don't know.
But what else? I'm glad that I don't have a voice recorder to constantly document my ramblings because I would be sent to the psychiatrist.
Well, you'd also spend a fortune on those little tapes.
Yeah, they don't even really make those anymore.
Yeah, it'd just be... Well, what do they do? Is it a stick that you put into the your computer?
Yeah, it's like a USB.
It just has a little, like a little gig or whatever stick drive that's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I guess I'm not up on my digital recorder technology.
Right. Well, you did, dabbling in private investigations, etc.
I guess I need to be. I mean, that would be sweet. I could just take it over to your house and just in a moment's notice be like, hey, let's talk about this movie and record.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, just get drunk and not worry about it at all.
Oh my God. Think of the editing you
have. I would just, yeah, that's true. I guess I would regret that in the long run.
And this is where you fell off the deck.
Yeah. Boop. Here's where Eric and Anel got in a fight, whatever.
So my question is, they interview like two dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing that they could ever imagine is it's getting butt probed, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Definitely a heterosexual sort of nightmare.
I feel like South Park missed an opportunity.
Well, I feel like this may have not hit big enough for them to
be on their radar.
Of it.
Just saying.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely would work.
Right.
That would be ripe for the picking, so to speak.
Well, not anymore, because people would be like, wasn't this a movie from like 6 years ago?
Yeah, what the fuck is The Fourth Kind, guys? Right. Like, oh no, it's a good joke. You're laughing, right?
Yeah, laugh. It's funny.
And then they're like, click, whatever. Fucking South Park. You're not good as you used to be.
Yeah, asshole.
Get one of those. All right. Well, do you have anything else about The Fourth Kind? Since I didn't have any notes, I was just kind of breezing by. What else do you have? Did you watch this drunk or sober?
From my notes, it looks like starting out sober and ending drunk. Because when I take drunk notes, I do hashtags, which I'm not sure why, but.
Yeah, because you don't really use the Twitter too much.
No, I just think hashtag is funny to say, I think.
Oh, you're going Mariah Carey style. That's a dated reference, but you're going Mariah Carey when she was on American Idol. Did you watch that, Chris?
I don't know.
Okay, well, she would say, like, hashtag fabulous. Like, that would be her entire review on American
Idol. Oh, okay. No, I was thinking more of the skit between Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake when they're like hashtag everything. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, let's move on.
Okay, well, let's have a smooth transition to our next film. Okay, let's move on, whatever.
Rachel Smooth Transition Zelag.
Yeah, that's what they call her. So, the next film is my pick. It is from 2013 and it is called Europa Report.
T-minus 10, 9,
good morning. We are all very excited to be here today. This really is a new first step for mankind.
I would hope we keep looking for the answers to those really tough questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? And are we alone?
Internal cam check is a go.
Our craft was heading for a moon of Jupiter, known as Europa.
Yeah, my boy's gonna be 6 when I see him again.
He's gonna be proud of you.
Oxygen is flowing, we're good.
Commencing egress. He's never gets old.
Prep for orbital transfer. We are clear of Jupiter's orbit.
Pitching for power descent. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Here we go.
I can't believe I'm here.
Our best hopes of success lies under the ice.
Let's go for a swim.
You hear that?
Are you guys seeing this? It's beautiful.
Come back to the ship now.
I want to see if it's reacting to my light. I'm going to turn them off.
Compared to the breadth of knowledge yet to be known, or does your life actually matter?
No one at home knows we're alive.
We'll find a way. We have to.
We got a problem.
It's everywhere. Close them off.
I thought I was trying to do something great for mankind.
What was that?
I always said it was worth the risk.
I'll get you out of this.
Talk to me!
Forgive me.
Ah!
A group of astronauts travel to the moon of Jupiter, known as Europa, in the spacecraft Europa 1. Their assignment is to investigate the existence of life in Europa based on the discovery of water in the moon. When they experience communication breakdown, they need to go outside the spacecraft to repair it. However, one of them accidentally contaminates his suit with hydrazine, and he's left behind in space. When they land, they miss their target and decide to drill the ice to research. Then they collect samples proving the existence of one alien organism from Europa. The survivors decide to return to Earth with their discovery, but there is a problem with the engines, and they get stranded in Europa. Will they be able to fix the engines and return to Earth with their findings? Literally two more sentences, and we wouldn't even have to talk about the movie.
That's right. It's, I was, you know what, I, to be honest, I put this in the script before watching the movie. And then I watched the movie and was like, oh, really? That's the entire fucking plot.
Yeah, it really is.
The good news is, okay, here's the good and the bad news of this movie.
Okay. What about the ugly?
We'll get to the ugly. Charto's in it. That's so the good news is this is exactly 90 minutes long. The bad news is that I picked it and I hadn't seen it before. And so that's why we watched it. So, I hadn't seen it clearly. The movie that I originally had selected, we're probably going to do for next recording. It is really hard to find, surprisingly, for being such a high profile director that is behind our next film.
Is it Meet the Robinsons? Because I haven't.
No.
Okay.
So this film is streaming on Netflix, and I was like, hey, how about this? This is supposed to be about aliens. Whatever. Let's watch this one. It's got Charto Copley in it again. He's going to just be our guy that we follow throughout this film.
As long as we're not following Tilda anymore, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm a real big fan. I like her.
I actually am. She's all right. Let's...
Yeah. She looks weird sometimes, though.
But you don't need to make excuses for this movie. I've picked movies that I've never seen before.
Yeah, okay. So I picked it, and I didn't like it. And
you don't say.
And I was like, wow, I didn't like that at all. It was my first, my first blush, I guess. I was like, oh, boy. So I was not pleased with my selection. And before I get into why, what did you make of it, Cruz?
I loved it so much.
You liar.
Yeah, it was like probably the best movie I've ever seen.
You're such a liar.
It wasn't horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was, okay, here's the deal. If you're going to watch Europa Report and then Alien, you should watch them in the other order.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alien is like the sexy, scary, ridiculous, outrageous, like bone-chilling version of this vanilla trip to Jupiter. So it wasn't awful, but it really, like, basically all I keep saying is lots of build up, some more build up. Are we playing with Legos? Because I thought it was going to be, we have all of our cliche characters. We're going to Europa, which I thought was racist against Americans until I realized what was going on, but I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, like, hey, it could be called Americopa. Like, what is this bullshit?
America Report.
That's right.
It'd be entirely different. It would just be interviewing people in the South. Anyway, so I was like, okay, we got the cliche character. We're going to get on Jupiter, and then shit's going to go crazy. Like, they land, and they see that light, and I'm like, oh, snap. Shit's going to happen.
Here comes the aliens.
Still waiting for the shit to happen. Maybe a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Reel it in. And then, like, literally the last scene in the movie. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't scary, and they weren't gooey, and they didn't have little friends living inside them with little teeth. And it was like the lights to me were like creepy algae. Like, I wasn't frightened at all. So there's that.
Okay, so first of all, let's start on the end of the film with the look of the aliens.
The Matrix octopus?
The Matrix fucking octopus. Exactly. I was sitting there thinking, why the fuck would they choose to make it look exactly like the Matrix?
Yeah, I don't know.
What boring design is that?
Because like, is it supposed to look like it's a machine?
I don't. It definitely does to me.
Yeah, to me too.
Yeah, it looks like. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it thinking, is it 99, guys? Like, what are we doing? Why is this the Matrix?
Right.
Like, exactly. This is 14 years later, and this is still the best you've got, huh? Okay. You know, but I see the, you know, I could see people defending it being, well, it's the little movie that could, you know, they don't have a lot of budget. Well, that doesn't mean that they have to be lazy about it, too. I mean, it looks like they just lifted a design.
Right, and I mean, if they were going to lift one, it could have been something a lot more ridiculous.
Well, shit,
like any
yeah.
Star Wars character.
Make it look scary.
Yeah.
Make it not look like a big circle with some other circles in it that had lights
or
on it.
Introduce that alien, like, right when you land and take us to a weird machine, like, organism place in Jupiter where shit's crazy. Like, I would have been on board for a little bit of that.
Well, okay, so here's another one of the things. Okay, so the woman who's very attractive, Katya is her name.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That has the close-ups on her face, and I'm like, dang, she looks good, even at that, even at that
right?
sort of...
That's tough to do.
Yeah, I was like, that is right in her face. You know, if she had a ton of makeup on or something, it would have been really obvious. But I was like, that's, I mean, good for her. So,
right.
So she's out in the middle of goddamn nowhere, right? She's out on the fucking moon of Jupiter. But she goes under like 20 meters of water and they're like, nope,
right.
Fuck it, doesn't work anymore.
Right!
Look, what do you mean it doesn't work? You're fucking, she's definitely like atmosphere proof, but she's not waterproof. Look, what do you mean?
Right. Once a suit gets wet, it totally dissipates into the air. It's like cotton candy.
Especially when we're going to a planet made of ice. Like, it better not get
right.
wet or we're fucked.
Yeah, they just, like, leave her. They're like, oh, I mean, come on, guys, let's go.
So they had the opportunity, and this is also difficult because they're trying to balance being very realistic and being a movie, right?
Right.
And so they did have the opportunity to be like, no. What if she goes down there and she turns her light on or whatever and she sees just a shitload.
Something awesome.
Of these things or of anything. And then she's killed. Okay, I would have been like.
2 seconds.
Yeah, I'd have been like all about it. I'd be like, oh, hell no. They're going to crash land back on this moon and there's all those things down there and holy shit. You know, as it was, I was like, I don't give a shit about any of these people.
Right.
Oh, they're all going to die? Pfft, great. Who
yeah,
cares?
I mean, hell.
You know, and so here's the thing. Like, we can get into Charlto, or whatever the hell. Like, I'm going to continue to struggle with how to say his name. But we can get into him and his performance later. But it's all of these people were of a type, like you mentioned, right? It's...
Yes.
You have the Russian engineer who's cold and doesn't want to talk to anybody. You know, you have right. just every sort of type that you can imagine. It's almost a little like the, you know, putting the group together and everyone is a very specific person and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I recognize that that's the military guy because he's all crazy, whatever.
Right.
And so then when these people started dying, it's like, oh well, the fucking pilot died, whatever. I don't care because I don't even know what his name was. I don't know anything about him at all. Like, you get a little bit about James Corrigan, Mr. Copley's or Copley's character. You get to know that he's, you know, got a daughter that, I think it's a daughter.
The American guy?
Yeah.
No, he has a 6-year-old son, I think.
Is that what it is? Because I thought, the picture, I guess it was his son.
I mean,
yeah, because he talks about how he won't see him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know,
and as soon as he said that, he's like, I won't see him for X amount. I'm like, you mean forever. You know that, right?
Right. So you get that and you're like, okay, well, here's the bit where they're kind of like trying to make you care about them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like the goal of the film was to make it realistic looking and to make it like it actually happened, like a found footage film.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, that's why I get that, you know, things are cut the way that they're cut, and you have, you know, the herky-jerky sort of motion of watching the film, which, you know, if I was streaming this on, like, a laptop or something, like, not something dependable, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on with this? You know, so I could see
it. Like, are you on the computer, too?
Are you streaming something?
No, I'm not. It's there. Yeah,
I told you, one computer at a time. We don't have that cruise money over here. We're on the student-teacher sort of salary.
It's that Z-Lag cash, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Brad's got all that money. He's got that Pitbull money. So I can imagine where watching this would be frustrating if I didn't know that it was supposed to be that way. But anyway, you have that sort of filmmaking technique, and sure, that's fine. And you have a lot of the specifics where it's, you know, oh, we got to go do this and got to do that and whatever. But I feel like with it being such a long time period, because, you know, it's 2 years, right? It's 28 months or whatever.
Right.
So they're over those 2 years, and while you're trying to chronicle the entire time, and I get that, I felt like it was kind of either lazy writing or like they don't have an actual story, and so you cut it up so much to kind of, you know, make up for the fact that you don't have a real story. Like, you don't have anything for them to do right until they get there. Well, so you're just chopping it up to try to make it interesting.
Right, and you have some a bunch of foreshadowing,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, what I really did not like was, I mean, I didn't really give a shit about the characters, to be honest, a whole lot, but, like, I appreciated the whole, like, I keep referring to Alien, because, like, Alien's just a way better version of this, where they don't introduce them at all. They just, mm-hmm. like, start talking. They, like, start dialogue,
sure,
and then you
kind of
get who they are from that. And I was like, oh, cool, they're doing that. And then they're like, no, we are literally going to introduce them to you via this, like, whatever the hell this news feed was or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
the thing with Embeth Davids.
Right.
As Dr.
So
Andrew.
Now that you know who everyone is, you can pick who you want to identify with. So when they die, you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
And let's move on.
If you have a pixie cut, you could identify with this woman.
Right. If you're American and you have any sort of children, boom.
Yeah. If you're Asian, Daniel Wu, he's your person. If you're
right.
Russian, you know, if you're a doctor, here you go. And
right.
I was like,
if you're a hot chick.
Yeah. If you're a Russian hot chick or a European hot chick.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like they wanted to do a lot of things, and they did a little bit of everything and didn't do any of it, like, full, like, balls deep.
Yeah. Classy. What I was going to say is it felt that's, you know, sort of the same thing I was going to get at, but not quite like that, I guess.
You are welcome.
But I feel like, for me, it feels like it's a first draft. Like,
yeah.
It feels like, here's the story, and we're going to cut all this stuff up. No. Just start where it gets interesting. Like, I don't give a shit about any of this other stuff.
No.
Like, I don't need to see the fucking thing shoot off into space and them to detach and do all this. Just start them in space. Just start.
Yeah.
Just start the movie. I mean,
I totally agree.
It's 90 minutes.
I just feel like even when they were trying to do character development, it was just so horribly, like, forced. Just, I don't know.
What do you think of, you know, a lot of these sort of movies where they're in isolation, you see a lot of the sort of typical crew doesn't get along type stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think of not having any of that in this?
For the short amount of time they had, they wouldn't have been able to have them not really get along and then, like, have them say, I'm sorry. Like, people would have just had to die and you'd have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like this could have been a pretty legit miniseries,
mm-hmm.
if you could have, you know, got the story together and given me some sort of fucking aliens at some point.
Right. Yeah, this is the thing where it's one of those either it sounds weird, it's either you don't have enough story for a 2-hour movie, or you have too much story and you need to or you don't have enough story and you need to expand the actual footage that you're seeing into a miniseries.
Yeah. Like, you, if you want me to care that your friend, like, these people are dying, you're going to need to give me a little bit more.
Yeah, because, you know, I typically watch an outer space type movie, and it's, you know, and it's got the, you know, we're on a ship, or we're going across the ocean or whatever, and we're stuck together, and there's going to be conflict. And you see that so often. And so I always think of, well, maybe, you know, you don't always have to have that. And then you don't, and you're like, well, shit, this is boring.
Like, yeah.
Like, well, they're all getting along all right? Like, really, yeah, after 20-some months?
They had a couple arguments, and they put it to a very democratic vote.
Well, they had the one dude's, like, missing his toothbrush or whatever, and I'm like, okay.
Right.
Big wow, like... Can't you fight or do something stupid?
Right, and I feel like there should have been, like when the guy has, like, stuff on his suit, and they're all kind of like, oh, fuck him too.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, so you're fucked, so just bring in the other dude, and then you can just, you can just go gravity style on it.
At the very least, there should be, like, one person in there that's like, fuck this guy, and one person that's like, he was my best friend.
Well,
like,
that's the thing too. It's, you know, when the movie starts, you see like the Russian man who's not talking,
right,
to the European woman.
Oh yeah.
And you see that, but then when you actually see the scene that causes them to not speak because he's been saved, you're just kind of like, well, no one sees to give a shit except for the dude that was actually saved, and he screams a couple times, and you're like, okay, he's pissed about it, but no one else seems to care whatsoever.
Right. I don't know.
But that's Michael Nyquist, or something close to that, is the actor, the Russian. And he is the original counterpart in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. With that character.
Oh.
In the foreign version of that, that's who his counterpart is instead of it being Daniel Craig.
Wow. Upgrade.
Well, that's why it's like he's more realistic in that role, right? Because he's just some journalist guy.
Yeah, but in the book he's super hot.
So. Oh, is he really?
Well, he's like kind of a ladies' man, so that makes more sense.
Oh, you don't think he's a Russian ladies' man?
I do not.
Potato, potato, I guess.
Potato, pavodka.
Okay, so I was disappointed. Have you seen The Wire?
I started watching it. It's really icky.
It is icky. Isaiah Whitlock Jr., who is in The Wire as Clay Davis, and he always goes, "She." He's that character. He plays one of the scientists who's at the podium speaking. He's the black man.
Did he say shit?
No, he didn't. I was waiting for him to, but he was just talking about the technology and all this. And basically it was like, here's why we don't have to spend the money to make it look like this. And here's how it's believable that they could get where they get, you know, because they're talking about 24 months and I'm sitting there. And it was one of those where if the movie was better, I would have maybe done a little more research on it. Like, well, really, is this possible?
Right.
Could they be out there for 22 months or whatever and actually get all the way to Jupiter? That seems like fucking a long ass ways to go.
If I had Netflix, I could do it.
I could take one of those studies where I don't have to get up from my bed for like 2 weeks as long as I have Netflix. Netflix and some books.
Right.
I'd be good. I would be all good. But yeah. So I was kind of dinking around looking for that, and then I was like, I don't know if that's actually true or not. I'm you know, thinking that that's just baloney.
Right. I don't ever want to drink my piss like a Capri Sun, so I'm okay with
that. Yeah, that was interesting. I was like, you know, it's stuff like that where I was like, really, can you do something that's maybe not supposed to just be funny and maybe that makes me give a shit about any of these people first?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Miniseries.
What did you think of the way that things looked?
I liked some of the camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the beginning, I wrote fun angles.
Mm-hmm.
That's legit all I wrote. But then my second or third to last note is in all caps, and it's, what in the fuck are those knobs? I'm angry about this.
Yeah, they kept showing that camera angle with those two knobs.
Why?
I thought they were important,
and they turned out to be not even important at all. And I was just like, I don't know what you're doing, but it was making me angry.
I thought it was going to be something to where they were like that was holding the ship together. And if those knobs were fucked, then the whole crew was fucked.
Hey, or like those were the things that needed to turn on when he was fixing it or something. But no, it was literally just like that weird angle of her being angry.
Yeah. So, okay. So you know how sometimes when you haven't seen a movie and you either see the trailer or you see the poster or something and you're like, whoa, that's going to be crazy because this is probably going to happen.
Yep.
Right. So I watched this trailer and it's a pretty decent trailer. And I'm like, all right, yeah, this is going to be a good pick. And I see them go to the moon and it's got, you know, the freaking rust rivers or whatever. And it looks like when they get close, it looks like there's gigantic footprints on the ground.
And oh,
I'm like, oh, no way. This is going to be sweet. Like there's going to be some kind of like super fucking huge alien thing or something. Or there's going to be something.
Right. Anything.
I'm watching it.
Anything.
And I'm just like, there's going to be something. Then there's fucking nothing.
No.
Oh, man.
Where are the fucking aliens?
So here's one of the things that I did want to mention. What do you think of the fact that we finally see part of the alien at the very, very end? Would you have rather have seen nothing? Or would you have rather have seen the way that they did, but maybe in a better way, maybe?
Nothing.
I would have rather seen nothing, too, yeah. I was so pissed that we finally saw something at the very end.
I actually didn't want them to find any life form at all.
Oh, interesting.
Because, like, fuck you guys for screwing up so horribly. And, like, trying to Bruce Willis drill in the wrong place. I just like that when the cute lady goes under and I don't see anything, that's when I started getting real pissy. Cause I was like, you're showing me lights. Like I was picturing, you know how they have those underwater fish that are like really deep, deep down in the ocean.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they have the light and you like are drawn toward the light and then it's like something horrible. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. But as you know, it was not that at all.
Yeah. I kind of thought like, okay, I can sort of get the gist that maybe something's under there and maybe leave it as she was killed by something, but you never really quite saw what. And that would make me think, okay, well, there's life on other planets. There's some serious shit there. That's mind blowing enough, but I didn't need to see this fucking Matrix looking thing.
Yeah.
And so then I was just, you know, I was already kind of like, You know, I was like, I'm not a fan of this. And then it gets to the end and I'm like, oh, really? Come on.
Yes. I was so pissed. And then they're talking about how she let the gates open, so the last transmission that we got was proof of life on Jupiter. Like, died doing her duty. And I was like, oh my God, I fucking hate you.
You know what's funny is I really like that actress, M. Beth Davids.
What else is she in? Like, she looks super familiar.
Yeah, the thing that I'm most familiar, I mean, she's Peter Parker's mom in The Amazing Spider-Man. And The Amazing Spider-Man 2. She's not May, but she's whatever the mother's name is. Mary. So she only appears briefly. But I know her best from the HBO show In Treatment. And she's also in Californication.
That's why I know her.
I saw that and was like, oh, there's the connection for Cruz.
Yep.
So she's in Treatment, and that's a like a psychologist's drama, like a psychological drama.
Oh.
And so it was an HBO show to where it came out Monday through Friday. And it's a half-hour show.
Oh, right. You told me about that.
Yeah, and so Monday it was a certain character, and then Tuesday it was a different one, and Wednesday it was different. And then the following Monday it was that same character from Monday. And it would do that for about 5 or 6 weeks.
That's pretty cool. She was also in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Was she?
I guess. Daniel Craig one.
Yeah, she was.
And she's in a miniseries. Weird.
Secret Life of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
In post-production. But yeah, so I don't know. I think she's good. I think she's one of the rare, middle-aged women that's allowed to have decent roles.
Yeah, you know, she's had a lot of good roles, actually. Yeah, list.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you get that thing now where it's like, oh, well, you have to, well, not now, but just forever, it's been that thing where if you're not the new young thing, you're not anybody in Hollywood. So it's good to see that she's, you know, middle-aged and still getting decent roles.
Did you see that skit?
What?
The Tina Fey, Amy Schumer, Elaine one where they're celebrating her last fuckable day in Hollywood.
No, I didn't.
Because she's too old and like they gave her like you just know when your last day is, and she was really grateful that she got to be fuckable throughout her 40s, and like, oh my god, it was hilarious.
That sounds really funny.
Yeah.
I need to correct that mistake, I feel like. Right?
You should. Yeah. Tina Fey, can't go wrong.
There's a lot of mistakes I need to correct, though, I think.
You know what? You can't erase me, all right?
That's right.
Subtle.
That's right. Those people that, you know, I had wanted to take your place, they sort of fell off by the wayside anyway.
Yeah, they did. So. You think that was an accident?
Yeah. I haven't heard from some of them in a long time.
That's right. Well,
probably not an accident. So, okay. Do you have anything else before we wrap up?
Yes. Are there cameras everywhere? What if I wanted to bang someone in my bunk?
Yeah. What is that about? There were two women on there. They were both pretty attractive, but everyone was just kind of like, nah, I'm good. 2 years, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people don't have needs if they get their genitals cut off before they go into space, but
you know, what was funny is I was like, oh, 2 years, whatever. And then I was like, well, I guess I was married and moving on. So what else do you have on there, Cruz?
Last one, the captain flops through the hole when they crash equals duh.
That was interesting. So
you get up from your seat to switch some gears, and then you fly through the back of the spaceship when it crashes. Duh.
Yeah, that was the, hey, dude, you have seatbelts on. That's okay. He's going to die.
Right.
It's like, don't ever take your seatbelt off, guy. But then they have that 4 seconds of, oh, well, he saved us, and he prevented us from getting killed by the underwater monster thing.
That should be a definite commercial for Click It or Ticket.
Yeah, especially because of the way that the dummy, like, flipped over.
Right.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, that's all I had.
Quality.
All
right, so wrapping us up, if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you could email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You could follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you could follow me. I'm @ericwilliams79. And you could follow Rachel. She's @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page for the show where you could like it. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And say that you wanted to help us out a little bit and you wanted to buy us some movies that are really good, not these two. You could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list, which once again will not have these two on it. It's full of the movies that we want, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies. If you're in the giving mood, just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. So once again, I would like to thank Mr. Pryor. Oh, wait, he's not here.
Oh.
Normally we would be thanking Mr. Pryor for coming on. He will hopefully, like I said, be back for next week. So, Cruz, thank you Williams. For being here. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more movies with aliens.
That's funny.
I got a dirty mind. I got filthy ways. I'm trying to bathe my aid in your Milky Way. I'm a legend. I'm irreverent. I be reverent. I be so far. We don't give a fuck. Welcome to the danger zone. Step into the fantasy. You are not invited to the other side of sanity. They calling me an alien, a big headed astronaut. Maybe it's because your boy Yeezy, ass a lot.
You're so hypnotizing. Could you be the devil? Could you be an angel? Your touch.
A bar out in Mars, where they driving spaceships instead of cars. Cop a Prada space suit about the stars. Getting stupid high straight about the jaws. Pockets on Shrek, rockets on deck. Tell me what's next, alien sex. I'ma disrobe you, then I'ma probe you. See, I abducted you, so I tell you what to do.